Man, oh man, welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf, this is Danny Cannell, and that, my friends,
what up, everybody?
Man on Earth,
DK. Jenna Wolf, America, virtual high five. How's it going?
My dad was so concerned with you all weekend.
He's got nothing
How's he going
to
be?
About.
Is he going to be okay? What's Monday going to be like?
You know
I said,
what you
rest
should tell
assured
your dad?
He's going to be
Same
fine.
Same thing I told anyone that asked me how I was feeling. My team has Patrick bleeping Mahomes.
Yeah.
I feel great.
Yeah.
I feel great.
You know, I was worried. I was like, man, Nick's going to be insufferable the next 2 weeks.
No,
but after watching that video.
It only took like, 5 seconds.
I know it only took 5 seconds. But to see like a true fan, like, yes, you've been strong on your takes on Mahomes and the Chiefs. But to see the fandom come out, I think that's pretty cool.
Maybe.
It's harder for me not to like that.
I didn't know if I'd ever be able to see that my whole life.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Really happy for you, Nick. All right, let's
Niners,
tell you how
by
it
the
all
way,
happened.
Also made the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I promise.
Excuse me. This is how it happened. Chiefs hosting Tennessee in the AFC Championship game yesterday.
Look at that.
And Patrick Mahomes continued to show why he just may be the best player in the world. Mahomes led the team with 53 yards rushing and a touchdown to go along with his nearly 300 passing yards and another 3 touchdowns through the air. Chiefs win 35-24. Send the Titans packing. They advance to their first Super Bowl in 50 years. All right, Nick, I hope you caught the whole game. What was the key to Kansas City's win?
Well, once again, they find themselves down early, down 10-0, down 17-7. This time they stayed poised. They didn't have any major self-inflicted errors. It wasn't a bunch of drops. It wasn't a muffed punt. It is something where you're like, oh, this all could go wrong. They stayed calm. They waited for Patrick Mahomes to take over. And Patrick Mahomes' takeover, he did. And you showed the play, Jenna, and we showed it for the first time a moment ago, and it is a play, and I do not say this because I'm a lifelong Kansas City fan. I say this because I watched it. That play will live on in NFL history. That is an all-time playoff moment by a guy who is proving himself to be an all-time playoff performer. And the other thing that play did, Danny, was not only give the Chiefs the lead going into the half, but I believe it was the final nail in scaring the Titans out of their game plan. In the second half, Derrick Henry carried the ball 3 times. They clearly were knocked out of what they wanted to do because they knew, all right, well, we can't cover guys if we don't double 1 or 2 people, but when we double 2 guys, he can do that to us. They are going to score at will repeatedly, and score at will they did. So when you have the best player in the league, you're in an enormous advantage. Andy Reid once again called a brilliant game, and the Chiefs did not give the Titans the real hope. Oh, wait. This could be our day because after the slow start, instead of a 51-7 run like last week, it was just a 35-7 run to put this game away.
There were some similarities to this in the Texans game as far as the slow start for the Chiefs. You had a couple drops, and then you look at the scoreboard. But I didn't feel anywhere, maybe it's because we saw what they did last week, I never felt like, man, we could see an upset today. It just felt, in large part, like, why does this happen? It's because of number 15. He is so special. And you combine him with the amount of talent that he has around him and Andy Reid, one of the better offensive minds in the history of the game. And that's why you never feel like you're out of a game. Patrick Mahomes has never lost a game by more than a touchdown. Think about that. He has always had his team within position to at least tie in the fourth quarter. And that is the biggest compliment you can pay a player, specifically a quarterback, is that with him in the huddle, you always feel your team has a chance going into the game, but also no matter what the score in the game is.
What does it say about the Chiefs? Not just Patrick Mahomes, also Andy Reid, who you brought up, because you don't want him to get lost in all this. Patrick Mahomes has been sensational. Andy Reid was there every step of the way. That they're in the Super Bowl after coming up just short last year.
Well, that is an organizational success. Brett Veach is the general manager of this team. They addressed the obvious needs on the defensive side of the ball as best they could. They made sure they retained Chris Jones. They went out and got Honey Badger Tyrann Mathieu. They switch out D Ford and Justin Houston for Frank Clark. Frank Clark, by the way, who had multiple massive sacks in the Texans game. And then the play that you guys showed where I'm celebrating at the end, that was a Frank Clark sack to officially end the football game. And they did something that we, I think smart folks in the media have tried to encourage these teams that have sensational young quarterbacks to do. They went all in. They said, we are going to have Patrick for the next 10 to 15 years, but he's never going to be as cheap as he is right now. So we will trade first-round picks for Frank Clark. We will make sure, even if Sammy Watkins, is he really worth his salary? You know what? We'll bring him back. We are not going to be 1% worse than we were last year, and that's how you get there. And they did not allow last year's playoff disappointment against the Patriots to get in their heads while it looked like this year's playoffs were going to be a disaster against the Texans. They stayed poised, they stayed calm, and they stayed believing. As long as 15's out there, we can beat anybody. That's how they got where they were.
This game was so big for Andy Reid, though, and his legacy as a head coach. He's one of the most underrated coaches in NFL history, maybe. I think people look at Andy Reid and they say, offensive mind, like I was just talking about, but, you know, can't win the big one, or clock mismanagement issues, which have plagued him in the past, which is really unfair, but sometimes that's what happens as a narrative, as a society. We just kind of label you as something, and then you're that. Now that he's getting to his second Super Bowl, I thought he was a Hall of Fame coach no matter what happened in the outcome of this game, but you have to start building up that resume. Now he's getting to his second, and if they do pull it off, then it's a lock, like as far as Andy Reid in the Hall of Fame.
And I'm going to add one other thing. One other person who I think he wasn't even active yesterday, but deserves immense credit, because the last 14 teams to make the Super Bowl had the bye. If the Chiefs finish 11-5, they do not get the bye. They went 2-1 with Matt Moore as the quarterback. Yep. When Patrick went down. He went down early in that Denver game before it was decided. Then they had Green Bay and Minnesota, two playoff teams. They annihilated Denver. They beat Minnesota without their starting quarterback. They lose that game, the whole world's different. The Patriots lost in Week 17, doesn't matter. They still get the bye, and who the hell knows what happens. So Matt Moore and the team's ability, when they saw Patrick Mahomes potentially be carted off the field, to not fall apart and to stay afloat until he got back, it's one of the big reasons they're in the Super Bowl.
I love you're giving credit to the backup quarterback. But also, do you remember when there was video and rumors that maybe Patrick Mahomes was going to come back the week before? Mm-hmm. Having Matt Moore play as well as he did allowed them to say,
and
you
that's
know
the
what?
Game they won.
We can go one
they,
more.
They beat Minnesota because
exactly.
They had lost to Green Bay in a close game.
Yep.
And then was he going to come back from Minnesota? He didn't. They won the game anyway.
But Matt Moore and the decision to hold Patrick Mahomes out that extra week, yep, again, goes towards Andy Reid and the job he did this year to keep that team healthy
the following
and ready.
Week,
and where they are
today. They lost
today.
To the Titans. They have
and then
not
they
lost,
haven't
since,
lost since. And yep.
They got
all right,
time yesterday.
Now. Put a crate on it, sponsored by CarMax. Nick Mahomes finished 23-35, 294 passing yards, 3 touchdowns to go along with an unbelievably impressive rushing touchdown that you mentioned. Put a grade on Mahomes' day.
He gets an A quadruple plus. Of course, I mean, it's such a perfect score. There's questions if he cheated on the test, but something just occurred to me, Danny. We spent that whole first segment. We didn't mention the alleged new king of the NFL, King Henry. I thought you could just pencil him in for $160.
He was king for a half.
I thought he was just, obviously he's going to have 150 yards
rushing. A lot of show left to come today.
A quadruple plus, Patrick Mahomes.
A plus with a bunch of stickers, yep, smiley faces, everything
gold
he
stars,
wants. Gold stars
everything.
All over. An insane performance from him. The statistics off the charts. I mean, he just was. He's got that special factor.
Oh, look at that. Kansas City Monarch socks.
Those look
Kansas
fancy.
City Chiefs red tie.
Oh, I see what's
this
happening.
This is a great day. At least until I have to start thinking about the fact that they're playing the Niners, and that team is so scary.
Yes, they are.
That team is so scary.
I think we're happy for you.
Thank you so much.
So just marinating that for
I don't know. It's starting to wear off.
I know.
No.
We've got a long 2 weeks.
All right, the late game last night wasn't much of a battle for the Packers and Niners. Niners would absolutely dominate thanks to an unlikely hero in running back Raheem Mostert. 29 carries, 220 yards, and 4 touchdowns. First player in NFL history with 4 rushing touchdowns in a conference championship game. Niners win 37-20. They advance to Super Bowl 54. Nick, was this more about the Niners' dominance or the Packers' lackluster performance?
Oh, I want to give full credit to the Niners. This is about their dominance. And it was a carbon copy of Week 12 where there's a critical fumble that takes points off and leads points for the opposition, where the end of the first half could not possibly have gone worse for the Packers than it ended up in Week 1. In Week 12, it looked like you're going to go into the half down 20-0. They tack on a field goal. This one, it looked like you're going to go into the half down 20-0. They tack on a touchdown. And I feel like such an idiot. My lifelong commitment to take integrity has never cost me more than it did in analyzing this game. Because before the year, Danny, I said Super Bowl, Chiefs, Packers. Yep. And the last thing I want to do is a conference championship weekend when they're both alive is divert in any way. But we sat right here after the Week 12 game. And I said what I believed and what I saw at the time, which was the Packers' only path to the Super Bowl is someone else beating San Francisco. If Seattle gets them and beats them, if San Francisco trips up early, because they can't block San Francisco and they can't deal with San Francisco's blockers. The defensive line for San Francisco dominated in both matchups. The offensive line for San Francisco dominated in both matchups. And so that's what happened yesterday. It was, now Green Bay and Rodgers, a lot of those numbers are hollow and he's going to hate rewatching his performance in this. But the Niners annihilated the Packers, and they could have done it with quite literally anyone playing quarterback. It was all about their big people in their run game and their pregame plan. Credit to Kyle Shanahan, one of the best offensive minds in the world, and credit to that Niners defensive front that John Lynch has been first round pick on to do what they did.
I think it's even a cop-out to say it's a combination of 49ers domination with a lackluster performance from the Packers, because I think it was just sheer domination. When you're able to control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, which was glaringly obvious in that game, as you had Aaron Rodgers, who was absolutely spooked in the first half. He was thrown off his game. He was jittery in the pocket. He couldn't wait to get rid of the football. Combine that with the dominance on the run game when they're able to establish the run where Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't even have to hardly attempt a pass in the second half. That is a complete annihilation on both sides. That was all about the 49ers' dominance.
Did anyone think that this team would be Super Bowl at the start of the season? Danny, did you? Because I know you were not fully bought in. What about you, Danny?
No, I mean, I was looking up their odds before, and they were around 30-1, which was about the same as the Falcons, same as the Vikings. So some people believed them. I personally didn't. I didn't think Jimmy Garoppolo, with a limited window, like, I'm always a believer in I need to see more. I need to see a bigger body of work before I believe that a quarterback can take a team to a Super Bowl. I've just seen too many one-hit wonders where they go on streaks for 6 or 8 games and then they get exposed. I've been pleasantly surprised with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, he wasn't
now,
needed much
wasn't
in this
really
game.
About
exactly.
Jimmy Garoppolo at
but
all.
I mean, still takes something to get your team to the number one seed, to have all the success they did. It's a credit to both, though, because Kyle Shanahan has developed this run, which is very similar. I played for Mike Shanahan in Denver. You can see the blueprint very clearly. It's the commitment to the run. And again, look at the backs that they've gone through this year. Castaways, which was very similar to the Denver Broncos.
Orlandis Gary, Mike yes. Anderson, or even in Cleveland when they brought the system there. Yep. When Kyle Shanahan's there, Peyton Hillis. I don't want to say anyone can run in this system with the right offensive lineman, but it seems like anyone that's good enough to make the NFL
yep.
can look like a star in this system if you have the right offensive lineman with this play calling.
And that's the tribute that's there. And that's the consistent commitment to the run is very clearly there. And Mostert had such an incredible game.
Yeah, not
He's
taking
an
away anything
story.
From what Mostert
right.
did still.
Absolutely. Mostert is such an incredible story if you're looking, and it's – you know, he was a practice squad guy in 2015, spent time on 5 different rosters before finally getting an opportunity on the 49ers practice squad, almost gets cut. And he talked about, hey, Coach Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan believed in me, and how that belief was so important, how it all culminated in last night's sort of breakout performance on the big stage. It's an unbelievable story.
Jenna, to answer your question, I am shocked by the Niners as far as what I thought about them going into the year. Not shocked by them what I thought of them going into the playoffs, even though I picked the Packers to win a close game yesterday foolishly. I thought this was a 7 or 8 win team. I did not see the leap coming that Vegas saw when they had said they were, you mentioned that they were in that kind of third tier of Super Bowl contenders mm-hmm. where they had their projected win total at 9. I said, where are the wins coming from? I know that Jimmy G got hurt last year and it derailed their season, but I thought the Mullins kid came in and played well. And I, like you, don't, or at least I don't think Jimmy G's great. So I just didn't see this massive leap coming. What I did not factor was the impact Nicky Bosa would have, that the all those young first-round pick defensive linemen, a year better, a year older. Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, seems to be doing a masterful job. The way they use Juszczyk and the way they have a fullback-centric offense, when you've got the best fullback in the league, the best tight end, blocking tight end in the league, and the second best pass catching tight end. That type of offensive line with McGlinchey and Staley and that zone blocking scheme, they can just mow over people. So I now, with the benefit of hindsight, can say, oh, well, that's why they were thought of so much more highly in the preseason than I thought of them. But I'm shocked. As right as I've been all year long about the Chiefs, I've been that wrong about the Niners. I was one of the people Richard Sherman was talking about that always was waiting. Well, what about when the schedule gets tougher? Well, what if they have to play Seattle again? Well, man, they are. And when you watch them, Danny, they're terrifying. That ability for them to get pressure with four, that is the solve for a great offense. Yep. Is if you do not have to send extra people and you can still be harassing the quarterback the way they did, that's got to already be. Starting this morning, Andy Reid's got to be thinking, how are we going to keep Patrick upright and how are we going to deal with those behemoths they have on the defensive front?
It's unfair to be able to get that much pressure with four guys. It allows you to do so many different things, disguising blitzes, mixing up coverages, and it makes a quarterback's life miserable when you can do that.
All right, the 49ers go from a 4-12 season last year to a Super Bowl appearance this year. All right, moving on to the Titans and Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes did it all yesterday. The reigning MVP led the team in rushing with 53 yards and a score on the ground. And if that wasn't enough, he also threw for nearly 300 yards and another three touchdowns. Chiefs win 35-24 to advance to their first Super Bowl in 50 years. Here's Mahomes after another stellar performance.
Being able to do it at home, being able to win the Lamar Hunt Trophy here and do it for the fans and everybody like that was awesome. We fell short last year and we learned from it and we built every single day and now we have the chance to go to Miami and get the ultimate goal, which is Super Bowl.
Nick, I know you can be completely objective about this.
Actually, I've been objective about Mahomes.
I know, you actually
Mahomes.
Have. you think Mahomes cemented himself as the next all-time great with his performance yesterday?
Oh, I think he cemented himself as an already all-time great. I think that there's no more next. He's one game away from already, in 2 years as a starter, having a Hall of Fame resume. A league MVP, and if they get a Super Bowl championship, 12-4 in the regular season, 12-4 in the regular season, hosting, never having to play a road playoff game. If they end up pulling this off, the only player in NFL history to win league MVP and be a starting quarterback for Super Bowl champion and not be in the Hall of Fame is Joe Theismann, at least in the last 50 years. And Theismann wasn't, and I like Joe a lot, but he wasn't 30% of the player Patrick is. He can do everything on the football field. And Danny, and I hope you take this the exact right way. I would imagine for a guy who played the position, it's almost frustrating watching him play because he got all of it. He got, you know what I mean? There is no weakness in his game. It's not like, oh, okay. So like even when you watch Brady, it's like, all right, well, he didn't get touched on the head when it came to athleticism. Like, you know what I mean? He got everything else, didn't get the, Patrick got every trait you would want from a quarterback. He's clearly the best player in football, and Lamar deserves MVP. There is not, no one in the world would rather have Lamar as their quarterback than Patrick. No one in the world would rather have Aaron or Tom or Drew or any of them, and he's 24 years old. So to me, Danny, he's already one of the greatest players we've ever seen.
And he's super likable. It really is. That's why he's got this magnetic personality. Talking about takes that you've had, I feel last year I had a pretty good comp for him after about the 30th touchdown. So we'll say it was a little bit earlier than some, which is about, you know, not that much more past midseason. I really feel the impact he's had on the game because clearly styles of play, he's Dan Marino. Dan Marino, you could see he was going to be a star in his rookie season, and it just kind of went from there. And of course, Patrick Mahomes could already surpass him if he gets the Super Bowl in just his third season in the NFL. Like, he's already on this trajectory. The stats that he's putting up are obscene. They're off the charts. First to start his postseason career with 10 touchdowns before his first interception. First guy in NFL history to have 250 passing yards and 50 rushing yards in back-to-back games. I mean, you can go on and on with the accolades that you could give him, but what you brought up is you have any, not only me, who was a scrub in the NFL, as I'm sitting here jealous, like, that guy's got the total package, but I guarantee you there are Pro Bowl quarterbacks in the NFL who look at Patrick Mahomes and says, I can't do that. Right. You know, and that, like, that is unbelievable. His athletic skill set is what you would want in today's NFL. He has every single asset that you would want in your franchise.
But he also passes the Jenna test, where he has all the intangibles. He's a great leader.
Right?
He's likable. He's a great guy. He's smart. He's focused. He really wants to get better at his craft. And he doesn't just rest on the laurels of, well, look what I did in my first season, so obviously I'm going to do it again.
And quarterbacks are judged by what they do in the postseason. And every single playoff game, he's been better than the previous one. The first game he ever played in the playoffs against the Colts, didn't throw a touchdown pass. Now, they dominated that game. He played well, but his passer rating was in the 90s. His second career playoff game against the Patriots, he was not good in that first half. They scored 0 points. He was then sensational in the second half. His third career playoff game, they annihilate the Texans after falling down 24-0, and he was even better yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the full list of quarterbacks who have thrown at least 120 playoff passes with a passer rating north of 100. Rodgers no longer on the list, by the way. He was. It dipped right beneath it. Bart Starr's at 105. Kurt Warner's at 103. Matt Ryan's at 101. Rodgers at 99. Breeze at 99. Patrick Mahomes is at 115. He has been at his best in the biggest spots, in theory against the toughest competition, where the teams have the most time and are most focused on stopping him. And right now, the Chiefs offense, because of him, is an unsolvable equation. Him along with Andy. Like, it is the perfect, there is a great question, what if someone else drafts him? What if he, who knows? But I know he went to the perfect system with the perfect coach and the perfect talent. So we all get to watch a guy who is the most talented quarterback ever. That I am comfortable saying.
Yeah,
he is
physically gifted.
The most physically gifted quarterback ever. And he plays the position so it, in a way where, Danny, I'm shocked when he throws an inaccurate pass. When there is a pass that it does not go where he wanted it to go, that pass to Kelce in the corner of the end zone that they called incomplete,
yep,
that I think might have actually been a touchdown if they reviewed it, that was a 99 out of 100 difficulty and a 100 out of 100 throw, and we see him do it repeatedly, we almost get numb to it.
I think if you asked anybody who had the best arm in the history of football, it's probably Jeff George. I think that should be, if you asked every quarterback who was that, I think his arm is every bit as talented, and then you combine that because he's a better teammate, a better athlete, and he can run the way he can, it is unfair. And what he's got.
And there's so many quarterbacks who only work in one system. And you look at Patrick Mahomes, and he can work in any system in the NFL. It's mm-hmm. not just what he's got right there.
I think
there
he'd be a top 20 quarterback if they made him play left-handed.
He's complete. He's yeah, complete.
I know, right?
Lefties probably around 100%. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the NFC Championship. And despite all the talk about how good Aaron Rodgers would need to be in order to beat the 49ers, he was anything but. Rodgers finished with 2 interceptions, 3 sacks, and a fumble. And as a result, the Packers finished with the 37-20 loss. And so Green Bay's impressive season comes up one game shy of the Super Bowl. Here is Aaron Rodgers after the loss.
It's a little raw right now for sure, but it definitely hurts, I'd say, a little more than early in the career, just because you realize just how difficult it is to get to this spot. And with all the changes this offseason and with all the installation of a new system and a new program, to get to this point, you felt like it was something special because it, you know, just didn't really make sense. We weren't picked by most people to win our division. And we found a way to not only do that, but win a home playoff game and get to this spot. Just kind of felt like it was meant to be almost. So that is a little disappointing, a little more disappointing. Then you realize, you know, I don't have the same number of years ahead of me as I do behind me. So it's slightly more disappointing.
Interestingly enough, Aaron Rodgers has reminded us about how many years he has left and how far he's come a number of times so far this season. He is well aware of what he's got left. So, Danny, I ask you, is the Super Bowl window all but shut on the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers?
No, he's still got the physical skill set to take a team to the Super Bowl. I mean, if you look at his production the last few years, it hasn't tapered off at all. His completion percentage is down slightly. The touchdowns are down a little bit, but they didn't need him to do much more than that. I still think we're talking about Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers was in that conversation before we were just having about how unbelievably gifted he is. Aaron Rodgers has that. Now, it's maybe slightly less, but there was a time when everybody unanimously would have said, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is that guy. That was an underwhelming performance from him. Earlier in the show, I was talking about how I felt like he had been spooked in the pocket. I do think that the pass rush got to him. But probably one of the most disappointing things to me in Aaron Rodgers, and maybe it's throughout his career, is going to sound sort of dumb, but the body language. Where is the ability to go in there and light your team up and encourage them and get your players to really, truly play around you more with more inspiration as opposed to, hey, I'm going to go out there and deliver every time. That's what he does. And there's a fumble out there. Right. Watch here. The body language on this one. And he just watches it go down and he's ticked off. I get it. But he just watches it. It just goes. And Cam Newton got skewered in the Super Bowl for not jumping on a fumble and just letting it go. Where is that criticism, Aaron Rodgers? And there's a body language that's just indifferent. And I wish there was a little bit more of a fiery, like Mahomes did when they were down against the Texans. When he goes over to the sidelines, gets into his offensive line and says, we're going to go do something special. Where is that from Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. You don't want to ask somebody to be somebody they aren't. But I look at him and I do think that's one thing that's missing from his game.
So this one's tough for me because I really like Aaron. I know Aaron a very little bit. I think he's somewhat unfairly portrayed in the media. And once upon a time, I remember saying in 2010, a fake trade, if you would trade me Aaron Rodgers, you can have my first round pick in perpetuity. Every year he's on my team, you get my first round pick.
Might have taken
and
that.
I think it would have been a great trade for whoever got him. And from 09 to 14, he was put up a 6-year run better than statistically any quarterback ever has. But the year is over. And he was really bad in the first half yesterday. Really bad. 2 turnovers, a 52 rating. He put up a lot of really good numbers and had an amazing throw to Devontae late. But when you're down 27-0 at half, I know at one point they cut it to 14. But that game was over at halftime for the second time against the Niners, by the way. And when you look at it, and you look at the fact that post-2014, he hasn't been great. He has only had one great season. That was 2016 when they got annihilated in the NFC Championship game by Atlanta. And then
40 touchdowns he had that year.
That was his one great year post-2014. Yep. But the defense was not up to the task. The team itself has only had one great year post-2014. That was this year as far as getting a bye, getting a top 2 seed. They get annihilated in the NFC Championship game. And once again, and I get his frustration, even if he won't say it, his teams on average going into this game, allowed 36 points per game in his playoff losses. They allowed 37 points in this loss. But the Aaron Rodgers era, as him being the best player in the league, competing for championships every year, I think it ended in 2014 and we were just late to the party. I think, and how did 2014 end? Conference championship game, up 2 scores on Seattle, and then the meltdown, not by him, but by the team at the end, the overtime, Russell Wilson, the onside kick, all of it. That was his last best chance to get to a Super Bowl until this one. And this one, they did not appear to be in San Francisco's league. You wonder that if San Francisco had lost the final game of the regular season, right? Mm-hmm. They had lost to Seattle, which they were a few inches from. Don't you think San Francisco, if they had to go on the road in round 2 to Green Bay, they could have done something very similar to this?
Absolutely.
No matter where this game was played, Green Bay doesn't have the horses to hold up with San Francisco unless Rodgers, and I hate to say it, can be Mahomes, and right now he's not that anymore, and I don't think he's going to be that at 37. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen, but I do think the era is over and the window is closed.
Are you guys with, I want to make sure, you don't think I'm crazy. Are you with me on the body language on the field? Because it almost looks like he's always dissatisfied with something. And we've crushed players historically. Jay Cutler is somebody that we always got on because he had bad body language. I feel like Aaron Rodgers in that category, but he's had success, so we're okay with it.
But
you know,
it's not just on the field. Press conferences. You could watch a press conference with the sound off and never know if he won or lost the game.
That can be a good thing.
I was going to say, that could be even keeled. The press conference that he's not wearing his emotions on his sleeve. Here's the thing about his body language, and here's one of the reasons.
And it doesn't matter ultimately. That's why I'm wondering if it sounds corny.
Listen, in my experience, in not all of them, but historically, all-time great athletes that have immense expectations for those around them, sometimes unrealistic ones, sometimes during the game, can't hide it. Because what's the, I think, the most fair knock on LeBron? He got bad body language, man. He will do a lot of that on the court. Now, you can get away with more of that in basketball than football as the quarterback. But we've seen this in the past from other guys who are great, but their success is reliant on other people doing their jobs. And I would imagine if you feel like, I'm sure he feels, I might be the best person to ever do this, and I have been held back a bit, either by coaching or by ineffective teammates. Sometimes you can't keep the stone. Sometimes you can't hide that.
Right.
And so I think I do think it exists. I just think it's understandable, and it's something, when I say Aaron's unfairly portrayed, I think there's other guys with those same traits, and we pick at Aaron a little bit more because of how talented he is.
Chiefs win 35-24. They advance to their first Super Bowl in 50 years. Nick Wright, what was the key to the Chiefs' win yesterday?
Well, once again, they find themselves in a double-digit deficit in a playoff game, which for the vast majority of teams is panic mode. The Chiefs panicked a bit last week when they found themselves down 14-0. That's why Andy Reid took out their Pro Bowl kick returner, put in Mecole Hardman, or took him out, put in Tyreek, only have Tyreek muff a punt, and now all of a sudden it's 21-0. I think because of that experience and the way they were able to overcome it, they stayed calm, they stayed within the game plan, and the game plan is not that complex. Let the best player in the world be the best player in the world and see if the other team can stop him. And they couldn't. And the turning point was obviously, and I'm not saying anything unique here, that run we showed. That it's not only that Kansas City got the lead going into halftime after being thoroughly outplayed the first quarter of the game. It's that, to me, it scared the Titans out of their game plan. After that moment, Derrick Henry had 7 yards. This is a four-point game. Titans had the ball again when it was still a four-point game. Even when they were down 11, there was enough time left. You thought, okay, you're going to have at least two possessions. If you can, you being Tennessee, and I think they ended up with three more possessions, if you stick with your game plan and you believe you can get stops, then you can keep running it. But they knew they couldn't stop him. Because if you don't double guys, he's going to find the open guy. And if you do double guys, he's going to do that to you. So that was the key. Sports are very complex, but sometimes they're very simple. The team with the single best player very often wins, and that's how the Chiefs won yesterday.
It's interesting to watch this team because we talked about after last week that they couldn't spot another team. They couldn't spot Tennessee a lead, and then they go out and they spot Tennessee a lead, and it's frustrating to watch. As good as Patrick Mahomes has been, the other mistakes that come up that put the Chiefs in the situations that they're in, and whether it's the penalty on 3rd and 22, or the fake punt, or jumping off sides, or all those things that Mahomes then is able to overcome, and it has been impressive, and I still don't understand why nobody can contain him and keep him in the pocket. We've been talking about this for
2 years.
2 years, how important that is. And again, he has that run that he has. It has been very impressive to watch, not just what he's done from an athletic ability and from a performance ability, but I do respect the character that he's shown in these difficult situations to bring the team back out.
Were you surprised, though, at the Titans? I mean, there was some poor tackling. But to your point, how teams let him get outside, we talk about fundamentals of the game, especially coaches. They'll harp on it, hat placement, things like that. There were a couple times where I'm seeing the end either go way too high and he let him slip out that corner, or they would lose contained on him and just let him get to the outside a couple times. And you're thinking, well, how does this not happen? And yet maybe it was one player who was out of place. And then that split second is what allows them to buy that much more time. But clearly, with number 15 on the field, that's why they're allowed to do this. But did you
it's
see that?
Shocks me. It blows me away. It doesn't, because I know Mike Vrabel talked about it, and I know Dean Pease talked about it.
Yeah.
I coached Vrabel. I worked with Dean Pease. I worked with Romeo Crennel for years. He talked about it. I talked to Romeo about it, and it's one of those things where unless the guys are committed to it and understand it's that one time that you're going to just go under and try to make a play. And I mentioned this on Friday as well. In these big games, a lot of times guys try to make plays and they go outside of the scheme, and they do. but they make plays for the other team because players like this can exploit that one moment where you decide to take that chance.
Even on the run, like the players at the end here trying to go for the strip in, as opposed to the tackle, that's got to be
with 11 seconds left. Yeah. Where, and I know the Chiefs had timeouts, but with 11 seconds left, you got three plays max. Maybe you hold them to a field goal if you just get them to the ground. But I want to give one other group credit. And that's what the Chiefs defense did do against Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. We came into the game talking about whether or not he was the best player in the league, whether the run he was on. And by the way, after our show Friday, Frank Clark gave him, I always hear about this bulletin board material, gave him real, if such a thing is real, gave him real bulletin board material. Say he's not that hard to tackle. He's not that good to him. He's just a big guy, easy to get your arms around. And that right there, after the Titans forced a punt on the Chiefs opening drive of the second half. They have the ball. Derrick Henry had a good first half. They have the ball with a chance to take the lead. The Chiefs commit back-to-back penalties. So it's now first and five. He runs for 4 yards on first down. Second and one, stoned. Third and one, stoned again. Stopped short. That's the play where there's a holding penalty called. I know the internet's abuzz with the guy threw his flag early. There was an illegal formation. That's what that flag was. And a holding penalty. And by the way, that right there is the last time he touched the football. They had to abandon it, or they chose to abandon it, and that put the game on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders, which was obviously not what the Titans were hoping
and
to
we
do.
All said, not just us, everyone was saying the Titans weren't going to get away from what brought them here. The Titans got here because Derrick Henry was running the ball. Even if they fell behind, we thought they were still going to continue to, and yet they sort of Vrabel changed course and put the ball in Tannehill's hands more than I think we all thought. But if that was sort of helped by another slow start from the Chiefs, and we talk about how great Andy Reid is. I'm wondering why, for at least the first couple minutes of the game, the team once again, is that nerves? And when you look at a team like that, why is it that they've, a team that's so seemingly buttoned up like the Chiefs, come out slow again?
It's frustrating, and it feels a little bit like they build off the momentum of the offense. The defense builds off that momentum, and everybody's got to feel that to get going. And some of it could be underestimating your opponent. And you come in, you think, and just like the way that Nick speaks, sometimes that can affect the locker room, where there's a sense that, oh, of course we're going to win. And when you have Patrick Mahomes, it's, well, he'll take care of it. And I think Baltimore fell victim to that with Lamar Jackson, where guys came out slow, but the whole game they're saying, oh, don't worry about it. Lamar Jackson will handle the game. You know, he'll get this done. And it works, but it's low percentage. It's low percentage football, and at some point that luck is gonna run out. And when you make those types of mistakes, it's gonna be those mistakes that you look back 20 and 30 years from now and say, you know, I can't believe that was the difference in the game.
Well, meanwhile, it didn't affect them. They are going back to the Super Bowl. And what does it say about them that after the year they had as close as they came, now this is the position they're in?
Well, that's just quickly, Coach, you always say you don't pick up where you left off the previous year and that teams have to know that. The one addendum I would put to that is, but if you have a superstar quarterback, you do pick up with the expectation of, we've got to be back there. We've got to be in at least the divisional round or pass, because it's what Peyton's expectations, Brady's, Rodgers until recently, always. And the fact that the Chiefs didn't let that crush them, and that even when they went through some real adversity, losing back-to-back games, having their quarterback go down, found themselves back in this position, to me it's an amazing testament to the coaching and the overall maturity of a relatively young team.
Well, Andy's been in the playoffs how many years since he's been there? Yeah. Is it six out of seven?
And I think he's won his fourth straight division title.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible run that he's had, and he obviously does a good job of recalibrating each offseason, getting these guys focused on, you know, the task ahead.
All right, let's play a little in or out. Aaron Rodgers finished with 3 sacks, 2 interceptions, and 1 fumble in the loss yesterday. But after the game, Rodgers said, the window was open for us. Danny Cannell, you in or out on Aaron Rodgers' Super Bowl window still being open?
I'm in. You know, the play has still been there. He's still playing at an elite level. There's a lot of teams that, trust me, would sign up and say, yeah, he'll be our quarterback. He's only 36 years old. If he wants it, he can get it. They have to help him get there, giving him more help on defense, but that window's still open.
Yeah, I'm absolutely in. Anytime you've got Aaron Rodgers, you have a chance, and he overcame a rookie head coach and a lot of transition this year to get him where they are.
Unfortunately, I'm out. I think the window, we didn't realize it at the time. You're shaking your head, Coach. Rodgers is one of my favorite players ever.
Yeah.
And he's only, since 2014, he's had one great season. Since 2014, the team has had one great season, and both years ended the same. One annihilation in the conference championship game by the Falcons, and one annihilation in the conference championship game by the Niners. I don't think he's any longer so great that he can overcome a lack of talent around him, and they haven't done a great job on offense surrounding him with all the right pieces. I don't know why we would expect at age 37 him to be better than he was this year, and this year they
weren't. But that's the thing. If he plays as well as he did this year and they get a little bit better around, they were 13-3.
I know.
They were so close to having that home field advantage.
He's so excited to kill any good quarterback.
No, that's right.
So that Mahomes can just ascend.
I love Rodgers.
Yeah. No, he's
this
a big Rodgers.
This my heart to say. I just have to be objective.
Game of Thrones quarterback.
Speaking of, Mahomes had another brilliant performance yesterday. The reigning MVP finished with 4 total touchdowns to carry the Chiefs to their first Super Bowl in 50 years. Danny, you in or out on Mahomes proving he's the best player in the NFL?
100% in. I thought this after last season. Didn't change one bit this season. He is special. He's got every physical attribute you would want. I think he has all the intangibles we want in a franchise quarterback. He's likable. His players like him. He's a winner. You can't say enough about Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm in.
Wow!
Congratulations.
Yeah!
That's awesome.
Yeah! Coach,
I'm
taking 2 years.
I'm even happy.
Happy birthday to me, even though it's your birthday.
Wait a second. You weren't in on this a month ago?
He wasn't in on it a week ago.
He wasn't in on it all during the season.
That's a lot.
Every week I'd come out and be like, Lamar Jackson. Of course, Lamar Jackson.
That is a lie.
Then suddenly, Lamar has one bad game and Patrick does what he does.
But you're in on it.
Why don't you arm wrestle over
it? I'm in on it because as I've watched this team give up gigantic deficits early in the game, and the fact that he's been able to have the poise, have the presence to rally him and rally him the way that he does, to me, that's not only a unique skill set, but it's a unique set of characteristics that you look for in your leader.
A really wise man, I'm in, told me.
Shocking.
We're going to evaluate quarterbacks by how they do in the postseason, by how they do in year two, by how they do when guys see them another time. And Patrick Mahomes has answered all those questions, passed every test with flying colors. Every single playoff game, he's been better than the previous one. He has the highest passer rating in the playoffs in NFL history by a wide margin. Of course he's the best player in football. And during the season, I never wavered from that. I said Lamar deserved the MVP because he did, but everyone knows Patrick.
I was going to make sure that this is not a knock against Lamar Jackson. No. He's clearly the MVP, but this is a different conversation. Mm-hmm. He's in a different league.
Who was the wise man, Nick?
Coach Mangini. That's Coach Mangini.
Our audience didn't know that. I wanted to make sure we're all on the same page. Tom Brady said he is, quote, open-minded about playing for a different team next season. Reports are Brady is, quote, embarrassed by his salary and plans to move off of the Patriots. Danny, you in or out on Tom Brady playing next season in New England?
I am in on Tom. I think once all the dust settles and the rumor mill has fun with it and social media starts trending because of some picture that was taken with an owner, whatever happens, whenever the dust settles, I think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will come to their senses and say our best chance to win another Super Bowl is with each other. I think Tom Brady's back with the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm in as well. I think sometimes in negotiations you got to show that you're willing to walk away, and if salary is the issue, Tom has to show that he's willing to move away from the table. And I think at that point it becomes not just a Belichick decision, it becomes a Kraft decision. And when that was the case in the past, it seemed like Kraft ended up.
It did seem like Kraft stepped in until this offseason when he could have stepped in and given Brady the extension, tell Belichick to do it, and he didn't. I'm out. Sometimes even if you're just looking for, interviewing with another employer to get leverage, sometimes you leave that interview and you're like, oh, I might actually want to go there. I think that's how this happens. I've been saying the Chargers, maybe I've had the wrong AFC West team. The Vegas stuff's really intriguing, especially if Gruden's not in on Derek Carr. I'm out on Brady being with the Pats next year. Think you'll be somewhere else with a bunch more weapons, and then we'll say those guys stink as well because we're not allowed to criticize them.
Hey, watch it. I do think it'd be fun to see him somewhere else.
Oh, it'd be super fun.
For the first time since 2010, the Patriots did not play in the conference championship game this weekend. More time for Tom Brady, who's set to become a free agent. And while he helped the Patriots win six Super Bowls, his future with the team is up in the air. Listen to what Brady had to say when asked if it's a realistic possibility that he'd play for another team.
I'm open-minded about the process. And, you know, at the same time, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
All right, Nick, what do you think? Starting to look more and more like Brady will not be with the Patriots next year?
Well, it's certainly not looking less likely. If you are holding on to hope, and I don't want to act like there's no hope, but holding on to the hope that Tom Brady goes back to New England, there hasn't been a single thing that has happened since the end of the season that has been reassuring. It's only been bad news. Now, how bad of the news? Moving out of the house in Massachusetts? A little bit. Fully cleaning out his suite at Gillette? Not great. Showing up at the UFC fight and, you know, hanging out with an owner of another football team, or at least saying hello. Not ideal. That comment right there, open-minded about it, not great. The report that he's embarrassed by his salary, which, by the way, I'd love to, if that's accurate, who's causing his embarrassment? Is Giselle like, hey, broke boy, do you know how long it's been since I made $23 million in a year? 2008, give me a, like, I mean, so whatever it is, there are more and more signs that Brady is actually entertaining his options. But we knew, Danny, he wanted to do that when before the year, when they wouldn't give him the contract extension, they would only give him the raise. He also asked for and was granted that they put in the contract, you can't franchise tag me. You don't. Listen, you don't ask for a prenuptial agreement unless there's somewhere in your head. You're right. Like, well, maybe I might need it. You don't say to your team, I don't want you to have the right to franchise tag me unless you think I might go somewhere else. So to me, yeah, signs continue to point to the fact that Brady is going to play next year, but in a different uniform.
We've argued, you and I have argued before, about how guys handle themselves with the press, right? I think Brady gave you the perfect response there, because negotiation-wise, it's really smart because he puts the Patriots in a spot where they're saying, oh, there's an ounce of doubt, like you're talking about. But also, you don't want to lose the fans of New England because they adore you. You know, it's at least the ones that aren't burning his jersey when he has a bad year. But for the most part, they adore him. So he doesn't want to bail on them. So he handled it perfectly. I wish you could hear an unfiltered Brady. Like, man, bleep this. Or hey, I do want to see what's out there. Like, what is he talking about, Mark Davis? Because I guarantee you it's not hair options, like hairstyle options, what they're going to go with. But I would be curious to know what he's thinking behind the scenes. But ultimately, when it all settles, I do think he's going back to the Patriots.
But do you think Tom Brady could still command an elite paycheck, an elite style type of paycheck with another team?
Yes. In a league where Nick Foles gets more than $20 million, Brady can at least get 25. And I do think for Tom, people need to recognize this part of it. It is important to him that he make it to age 45, that is playing, that he continues to play in big games, because his post-career setup is all about, it's not about going into coaching. It's not about going into television. It's about the whole TB12 lifestyle. And he wants that he will be the case study of, if you follow my method, you can play longer than anyone ever. Not just for athletes, but also for just regular people that want to continue to play in their weekend basketball leagues or whatever it is. And so the math for Brady is also going to be, What franchise is going to give me the best opportunity to show that I am still good? Not just win games. Because it's not just play the way the Patriots did this year, where he was a supporting actor, where he can be more front and center. I believe that matters to what he's trying to accomplish when he's accomplished everything else, Danny, because he knows what he wants to do post-career, and he has told the whole world, at least until I'm 45, which means three more years.
But how many people do you think believed him when he said that, outside of him? Because I think everybody was like, and Drew Brees has said it as well, and I think everybody
it
looks at it as like, it did. It seemed laughable. And now that you're approaching where it looks more likely than not, you're like, oh, maybe this guy is onto something. But I would say his company's going to be fine regardless because he's already sustained a level of success post 40 that we've ever seen in the game before. So, but I think it's fascinating, though, as far as what would you like? We had Mangini on here, and we're asking him, and he said, I think it'd be awful. I think it would be fun to watch him play somewhere else to see that challenge because Brady and Belichick are always linked together, and there is ego involved here. I think both of them are a little bit curious about, hey, yeah, could I do it without him? And maybe that comes into play, but again, it feels sort of like the Alex Guerrero controversy where it's like, hey, this dynasty's ending now, and it's going to be separated. Ultimately, they check their egos at the door because they realized our best chance to win another Super Bowl is together.
And he doesn't want to be what Peyton was in that last year when he won the Super Bowl. Just sort of like you said, a piece that just sticks in while everything else
He'd
around
take one. I don't think he.
I don't know
he
what's
knew
more
he could
important.
Get it.
Him being a factor or him picking up another ring.
I think he wants to see what it would be like to play with elite weapons again.
Yeah.
And the Patriots are not going to be able to retool enough to where they have anything close to, for example, what the Chargers have in Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, and Austin Eckler. And so I think that is fascinating and intriguing for him.
Coach, you've been with us from day one of this incredible season. 20 weeks, 256 regular season games, 10 playoff games, and here we are with Super Bowl 54 officially set. Chiefs and Niners. I have to ask, did you think you'd get to a point where you'd look Nick right into his beautiful eyes and say, you were right, my friend, you were right all along?
Okay, well, here's the one thing.
Ask him the real question. Ask him the real, don't make him answer that.
I will answer it. I think if you pick something over and over
I'm not letting you tear me down.
At
some point,
I'm wearing my Kansas City Monarchs socks. I feel great today. I'm not going to let you steal any of
He's also predicted that Tom Brady would retire for
not retire.
This is like your 17th year.
No, just that he wasn't good anymore.
Anyway,
I broke that 3 years ago. I was just first a little early.
We are down to the last two teams standing, the 49ers and the Chiefs. Who is the better team heading to the Super Bowl?
Okay, so collectively, I like the 49ers better. And I think that they tend to make less mistakes. It seems to me that there's less self-inflicted wounds. I love the chemistry that they've built. I think they have a underdog mentality. You've heard it throughout the course of the season. And maybe it's not underdog, but they don't like the fact that nobody's really appreciated what they've done, even late in the season when they had the success. They had already had the success that they had. Now, all that being said, I'm going to go with the better quarterback. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes, and I think at the end of the day, he is going to be able to carry it.
But if you were doing a tail of the tape, just to follow up, the vast majority in your mind of check marks would be on the Niners side of things.
It would be, but the biggest check mark for me
even offensively?
Well, the biggest check mark for me is the mistakes. Like, I really struggle with these two playoff games where you're spotting teams that many points, where that many errors, and I think at some point your luck runs out. Now, offensively, I really like what Kansas City can do, obviously, and I really like the quarterback. It's the mistakes that concern me more than anything.
All right, I got a take for you. I'm curious to see what you think of this. I think the Chiefs are about to go on a Golden State Warrior-like run. I think they're very similar to the Golden State Warriors. They've got a young superstar, the way Steph Curry was burst on the scene, the way Patrick Mahomes is. They're an incredibly amazing offensive team, but they're better defensively than you think.
Yep.
Like, I don't think people give the Chiefs enough credit. They didn't through a majority of the Warriors' run.
Sure.
You've got miscues. Like, they're a team that the Warriors, well, they're having so much fun, and they're embarrassing people. They're like, you know, we'll figure it out. It'll be fine. I think they're about to go on the similar type of run. I think they could see multiple championships with this group as long as it stays intact, with Tyreek Hill, with Travis Kelce, with Patrick Mahomes, with Andy Reid as that experience that comes in there, and the offensive mind combined with these weapons. It's got dynasty written on it.
Listen, I would agree with you entirely if the NFL playoffs were like the NBA playoffs, where it's set up to where the better team almost always wins, because you have, it's not a one-game sample. Because it's one-game sample, doing what the Patriots did over 20 years, it's why it seems so impossible. It's why it's more impressive than what the Spurs did over the same time frame, even though it's 6 championships to 5. There's the, you know, the Spurs had a similar winning percentage. Like, well, yeah, because luck comes into play less in football, or less in basketball than in football. Now, to this specific game, I don't know who the right pick is. I know who my heart tells me to pick, obviously. I know who I'll be rooting for. But if I do tail of the tape...
Are you going to tell us?
If I do tail of the tape...
I'm so curious.
The Niners have...
That's a tease.
I got jokes. The Niners are, to me, better in every area except for quarterback and wide receivers. Tight end's a push. You know what I mean? You have the two best tight ends in football. The Chiefs have a good offensive line. Niners have a great offensive line. The Niners have the best defensive front in the league. They have an all-pro at corner, even if they're secondary. I think for the Chiefs' strength of their defense might be their secondary. I still think the Niners might be better. And coaching, it's real close. I think Andy's excellent. I think Kyle Shanahan is as good of an offensive mind as Andy Reid is, and you take into account, okay, so Andy's so great coming off a bye, but he's also not great whether bye or not at the, you know, in the final moments of halves and games, and does that even ratchet up when it's the tied for the biggest game he's ever coached, and maybe even bigger than his previous Super Bowl, because that was 18 years ago, 15 years ago, and Shanahan is so great all throughout. I know he had the 28-3 moment in the Super Bowl as the coordinator. I feel like he's learned from that. The Niners are clearly the most dangerous team on that side of the bracket. I was rooting for the Packers yesterday, not only because I wanted to see Rodgers and Mahomes, but also because I thought the Chiefs had a decided edge over the Packers. I don't think they have a decided edge over the Niners. And what you and I were talking about off the air, Coach, and you alluded to, was you asked me, like, is it frustrating watching the self-inflicted wounds? And I said, listen, I've been watching this Chiefs team, you know, forever, but the last few years, you just got to bake that into it. They're going to have a bad offsides. They're going to have a defensive holding on a 3rd and 17.
You say that, but last year it's what cost them the Super Bowl.
No.
It cost them the chance to go to the Super Bowl. And this year, are we going to be talking next year where you say, oh, remember, you've got to bake that in when they lost the Super Bowl because of that mistake? How long are we going to keep baking these in?
I'm not saying it's justification. I'm just saying the way that I equip myself to watch the games, like, I know I'm surprised when it doesn't happen. The concern is, if you get down double digits to this team, it's so different. Like, 10 points down to the Titans felt scarier than 24 down to Houston. And 7 down to San Francisco will feel scarier than 10 down to the Titans, because of they have just shown you the best way for them to lose is Jimmy Garoppolo making mistakes, and they can win a conference championship game with anyone playing quarterback. Because with respect to Jimmy, anyone could have done what he was asked to do yesterday. Anyone that's in the league, all 95 quarterbacks, and they'd have been in the exact same position.
We're going to have 2 weeks to talk about this matchup, right? But I do think it's going to be that the age-old conversation and the debate is, well, what wins championships? Would you want to have great offense, which the Chiefs have, or do you want great defense, which the 49ers have? Best in the NFL, I would say, on both sides of the ball. Which one would you rather have? I do think the game has changed to where it used to be defense every time. You'd want to take the defense. I think the rules benefit offense. I think the quarterback play is magnified in today's game, and that clearly favors the Chiefs.
I respect what Kyle Shanahan did so much yesterday.
Yeah.
In the sense that he did not avoid, or he did not come off the running game and only threw the ball 8 times. That to me takes amazing discipline. And I know those runs are hitting, but you still have that inherent natural need to want to throw the ball, especially if you're an offensive minded guy. I was impressed that he did that.
Just real quick, I committed to you, with you having no risk whatsoever, that if the Titans beat the Chiefs, I'd get a Derrick Henry tattoo. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and Patrick Mahomes is the Super Bowl MVP, both things happen, you'll get a Patrick Mahomes tattoo at least a 15 somewhere?
No, I wouldn't get a Patrick Mahomes tattoo if they won the next 15 Super Bowls.
If he was his son.
That's no fun. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.